Hey everyone, welcome to another exciting edition of the Pulling on Heaven podcast. This, you may notice, is Western Shirt Edition, episode 3 of the 8-part miniseries.
We've been wearing these for like weeks now, right?
Weeks and weeks now. Actually, you've seen behind the veil at the Wizard of Oz, and if you're smart, you realize we shoot several of these in the same day. We're not just limiting our wardrobe, though we could be like monks. And in, you know, you have monks that wear, you know, just simple things, and they've gotten rid of all worldly possessions and garments. So
okay, that wouldn't be a good idea.
Pastor and I have gotten rid of everything except for our Western shirts.
Yeah. Okay.
That is the storm that we've chosen to place ourselves in. Oh, what a segue. Today we're talking about storms and fires and how to pray to God the right magical prayer to get us out of the storms and fires in our lives. You're going to reveal that to us today, right?
I missed the memo.
There's no magical prayer to get us out of. Well, there must be some way to get us out of the storms. I mean, God doesn't want us in storms or in fires or anything like that, right? Because he wants us to, we're supposed to live in victory and not have to deal with any of that kind of stuff.
And that's something. Wouldn't it be amazing if one mirrored the other?
Yeah.
You know, if you could be just as productive and joyful in a rocking chair as you are in a furnace? I mean, or is that like too far out there? I mean, is that
you made that quote the other day in service, and I love that idea that, you know, you could hang out with Jesus in a rocking chair, or you could hang out with Jesus in the middle of a storm.
Man, I'd rather.
Where would you rather ever hang out with him?
In the storm.
Oh my gosh.
I mean, I can sit in a chair by myself, but I can't walk on water without him.
No, and that's, he says, I came that you might have life.
Yeah.
Sitting in the rocking chair talking to him seems a lot less life than walking with him in a storm.
Yeah, and unfortunately, we tend to gravitate towards that way of thinking. You know, I just need, God, give me a break. How many times have people said that prayer? God, give me a break, give me a break. And it isn't that we don't understand. Listen, we're not cold and heartless to challenges. We've all been through them. We get it. We get it, yeah, I think, as probably as much as anybody, you know, typically would get it. But there, if things exist in our world today and God is Lord over it all, then it all has to have a plan.
Yeah.
And since God is good, then there must be something good about it. So that's what we should be after. Doesn't that only seem wise and right?
Yeah, and if all things work together for good, yeah. You know, it also makes me think of the idea of where you lead, and that goes. I've seen different people talk about this way, but it's not what the scripture says. Even when you look at someone like people in the Old Testament had storms in their lives.
Yeah.
I'd say, like, and certainly we're going to talk about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They got thrown in the fire, but you think of Joseph, you know, and Joseph's brothers, you know, threw him in a pit. And we like to say at the end of that, well, look, God took that situation and he turned it to good. See, he turns things to good.
No matter, you know, how bad they are.
How they are, at the end, he'll turn them to good.
Yeah.
But that's not what the scripture says. The scripture says what you intended for bad doesn't say God turned to good.
No.
It says what you intended for bad, God intended for good.
Yeah.
So that's got to reframe the perspective of how we look at any situation we find ourselves.
Yeah, God wins because he's Lord.
Yeah.
Jesus is Lord, so he wins. So his intentions prevailed. What the brothers wanted for evil out of jealousy and spite, and, you know, they grew to hate Joseph because, you know, his favor, and they just didn't like what he said and saw in his vision, and, you know, so they want to destroy him. And miraculously enough, God kept him. How many times has God kept you miraculously, and me and our audience? God he either doesn't know what you're going through, or he doesn't care that you're going through it, or he is Lord in it all. And which is it? You know, and the first two don't count.
Yeah.
He's Lord. So, you know, we realize that we go through things that we are oftentimes trying to get out of, you know, things being the trying of our faith. And listen, I get it. You know, we've all experienced people passing away, and
some of the hardest illness.
Yeah, and I mean, there's some there's certainly things out there that just are certainly not pleasant. Not denying that by any stretch, but we're looking for what God said. We're seeking the kingdom of God. The word says, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. It's here. Jesus said, kingdom is within you. And so he said, seek the kingdom. So that's what we're doing, Steve. We're looking in the windows and knocking on the doors and walking in the gardens of the kingdom. And there's a lot to be unveiled. There's a lot to be seen, a lot to be experienced. But have you ever walked someplace or driven someplace and wonder how you got there? You're like, man, how did I get here? You may be tired. Your mind was on something else.
That's how I drive.
That's how you drive every day. Me too. But my wife, I think, you know, I think she prays a lot for me every time I leave the house by myself, because she knows how much she helps me drive when she's in the vehicle. But and I need her when she's in the car. I am reliant on her. I'm just like, you know, tell me where to turn. Tell me when to stop. Tell me where to go. But it's because I am reliant on her when she's in the vehicle. You know, I remember when I first met her, I went to, it was in Arizona, and I didn't know my way around. Yeah. So she would tell me, and Donna was always really good. Her dad taught her how to pay attention as a young girl to street signs and stuff. He said, he'd always say, you're going to be driving soon. She's probably only 5 or 6, but that's what he said. So, you know, great. It was ingrained in her to pay attention. So I didn't really grow up that way. I just get in the car and hope I get where, you know, wherever it is, or on the horse or the bike or whatever. Hope I get where I'm headed. But so when she gets in the car, she becomes my navigation.
Yeah.
You know, she's my compass. And I drive like I have no idea where I'm going, even though I've been the same place we're going, you know, numerous times. So when I'm driving by myself, she probably wonders how I get there, if I'm going to get there. But I pay attention, and I'm more aware when she's not in the car, because I'm not reliant on her.
Yeah.
And so I can get wherever I need to go. I'm here today. Same thing in the kingdom. Same thing in the kingdom of God. We just don't pay attention. We don't remember. Put your sunglasses on your head and, you know, 15 minutes later, you're hunting all over the place. You can't find it. They just magically disappeared. And you go, oh my gosh. And there they are on top of your head. You know, so it was right there all the time. But we don't pay attention to the details that we should. And we get distracted from the ones we shouldn't.
Yeah.
Okay. The storms come. Why did this happen? Why did that happen? If we realize all things work together for good, that has to be on the forefront. You know, in the Old Testament, they would have the forefront, the commandments of the Lord written on their heads so they can forget them. They remember them. Well, we don't do that today, but we have the Holy Spirit that will remind us.
Yeah.
But we have to be quickened in our own mind, you know, remind ourselves who we are, where we are. We are born of God. We're kings and priests unto our God, and we are in the kingdom because the kingdom is within us. God is present with us. He never leave and forsake us. He's faithful. He's present. He's God. He's almighty. He's all authority. And that word again, he is with us. So if we step out of our home every day, or step, you know, from the bedroom to the living room every day with the reality and the knowledge that we are looking today in the kingdom. You know, things are going to happen, but there are mysteries, treasures, and secrets that are essential to our identity, to the truth about who we are and who Christ is, and we need to extract those. You're only going to do that if you begin the day with, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want.
Yeah.
He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for thou art with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Only good will follow me, pursue me all the days of my life, and I'll dwell in the presence, the house of the Lord forever. We have to live that. It's not just a cadence or a song. It's a truth about our present reality. God's with me in the here and now. So we're going to face different things, but we always have the tendency to want God to take us out of the most opportune times because it feels a little uncomfortable. And if you realize God is with me, now listen, I get it. There are things God will deliver you from, but sometimes he may not deliver you out of the storm until you celebrate him in the storm. And that was Peter. You know, Jesus is walking on the water, and the word says he was going to walk by. We've talked about this. Peter calls out, and he says, Lord, if it's you. So he steps on the water. He walks up. Original text says he walks up to the Lord. He walks over the water to Jesus. And so there he is by the Lord, just like we are. Christ is right beside us today. But then the storm comes, which God is not only Lord of the storm, he is the power of the storm. He is not only Lord in the storm, he is Lord of the storm. He's not Lord and Lord over the storm, he's Lord of the storm. He's all. So he is the authority and the creator of all that exists. So in the storm, God obviously is here with me in this because he's Lord over it all. And Peter knew that. But Peter looks at the storm and the storm overwhelms him and he doubts and he sinks. Jesus said, why did you doubt? So they walk back, they step on back onto the ship or in the ship and the storm stops. Why didn't Jesus just do that? Why didn't he just stop the storm when Peter walked out? He already walked up to him, storm dies, and then they walk back. But Jesus didn't do that. The storm raged and Peter became afraid and he sank. It wasn't the storm that distracted him. Well, I mean, the storm was distracting, but that wasn't the problem. The storm didn't cause him to sink.
No.
The storm wasn't the issue. The storm, it wasn't the power of the storm. He'd already walked over the storm.
Yeah.
It wasn't what he was looking at that was the issue. It was who he looked away from. That became the problem. Same thing today. You know, things arise, things happen, and then we start saying, why, God? And we deliver me instead of saying, God, you're not only Lord over the storm. You want me to know you're Lord in the storm. You want me to know you're Lord of the storm. God doesn't do anything to harm his people. He loves us, but he does everything to show us how powerful he is in us and with us, to show us that we have nothing to fear, to rid us of all fear and doubt so we are confident in who he is, so we stayed focused on him, because that's really the key. He keeps us perfect peace. You know, I set my mind, David said, my mind is constantly set on your oracles, on your word, on your commandment. I put them before me all the time. That was the power in David to overcome a lion or a bear or Goliath, you know, to walk in authority and power and be a friend of God. It was because he had this psalmist heart that he was constantly focused on who God was. We so often want God to take us out of the very thing that is necessary for us to realize how present with us he is.
Yeah. And the storm itself was the very answer to the prayer that Peter just prayed, because he said, Lord, if that be you, bid me come.
Yeah.
So he says, come. And so Peter wanted a more engaged relationship with Jesus.
That's what he wanted.
And you talk about this all the time. And so it's like we pray and you say, God, give me more patience, or draw me closer to you, or help me have more faith. And then all of a sudden the events in our lives happen that feel like, oh, something's coming against me, against all these things, because they don't want me to have it. The enemy doesn't want me to have it or whatever. Right. When it's like, no, he just gave you the situation in which you get to experience him on that level.
Yeah. Something has come against your doubt.
Yes.
Something has come against your hopelessness. Something has come against your weakened identity. That's what's happening. And God's trying to show you, you can walk on the water. You can walk over the storm. You can come right up to me. You can know that I'm right beside you. And we can walk back in the boat. Now, when the storm stopped, no one celebrated, you know, no one celebrates that the storm stopped. No one celebrates when you go on vacation. We celebrate when you're in the thick of it. You know, when you're out there and you feel like you're in the battlefields.
Yeah.
And you find the presence of God is glorious. All the things that we read in the Bible that encourage us weren't, you know, and Paul got up one morning and he went by this quiet stream and he fished, and you know, the stream was loaded with fish, and he caught all that he wanted and fed his friends, and they laid back in the sun, and, you know, the sun went down, and they went back home in the evening and had a beautiful day. You know, how boring, right?
Totally.
We would never find that intriguing or empowering or helpful. But when you read that, you know, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were thrown in the fire, and they were preserved, and not only so, but they impacted the entire kingdom. Or Joseph was thrown in a pit and his brothers wanted to kill him, but God raised him up and he became the number one guy in Pharaoh's house and had all the authority and was able to save his family's life from famine. That's pretty impressive. What is that all about? It's all about God saying, I want you to know you have nothing to fear. I'm with you. And there are things in your heart and in your mind that are making you afraid, and I'm going to deliver you from it by showing you that I'm not only Lord over the storm just to make it go away, I'm Lord in the storm to keep you in it.
It makes me think, you know, there's another storm that comes after that, and they're once again back in the boat. This time Jesus is in the boat,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And Jesus is sleeping in the boat,
yeah.
Right? And they go, and here's the storm, and he wakes them up. They wake him up, like, save us.
Yeah.
And he says, oh, ye of little faith, right? But the thing that's interesting about it is, were they of little faith? Because they weren't. They woke up the dude who they believed could stop the storm.
Right.
So it's not, so that's obviously wasn't what the point was.
Mm-mm.
And I don't even know that he wanted them, maybe he did, to even speak to the storm. But at the very least, it was, hey, we're going to be fine. If I can sleep through this, you can too.
Yeah, that's it. You can rest.
You can rest.
In the trying of your faith. You know, I mean, getting upset doesn't change anything.
No.
Well, actually, it does. It makes things a lot worse.
A lot worse.
You know, the gravity of that weight becomes far, far more heavy than it was initially, because you're upset. I mean, how many times have you had something enter your mind? You know, whatever it is, something that was, you know, how long is it going to take you to finish what you started,
yeah.
You know, a year ago or 5 years or you know, you haven't done this or you haven't, I mean, we've all had those moments. And if you allow that perception, that idea to migrate and grow, I mean, you're in that reality. You lose your peace. You know, you're upset. You know, it changes your demeanor. You know, you lose the desire or the vigor to press forward that day. You know, you just feel like just sitting down and going, God, help me. Nothing's happened. This is a perception in your mind that you are not where you need to be, but you are where you need to be because God is with you in it. Well, I wished I had done this. You know, people say, well, I wish I had accomplished this when I was younger. Well, of course, everyone does. But the point is you didn't, because God wants you to do it today. God is with you today, just like he did with Abraham. Why didn't he tell him when he was 50 years old, 30, 40, you know, that he's going to have a son and do it? Why didn't God do that? I mean, God could do anything. Why did God wait until Abraham is 100 years old and Sarah just a little less, you know, they're both beyond childbearing years.
Yeah.
Why did God do that? He wants to show us that he is not only Lord over all the situations. I don't just have to deliver you out of them. I want you to know that I'm God with you in them. So this is actually going to be, as James says, a time of joy, because you're never going to fear this moment again. And you're never going to experience it as the moment it was, because you experience it now as a wonder. You know, it's like that old saying, you know, they jump out of a plane and, you know, they survive, you know, they land, the parachute opens and they land, and or they go down some crazy ride at Disneyland or wherever and say, man, if I'd known I was going to survive it, I would have been more anxious to do it earlier. Well, you get to survive, you know, that joy of I made it. I wished I had known that before, because I would have enjoyed the ride a whole lot more if I knew what the outcome was at the end. I'm with you always. I've got you. I'll keep you. I'm going to catch you. Don't worry about it.
Was the
enjoy
attitude,
the ride.
That was the attitude of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, wasn't it?
Exactly.
It's like, they knew beforehand, so yeah. It didn't stop them, the threat of being thrown in the fire. They knew beforehand, and they said, and even if not, we're not going to bow down, but he surely can deliver us.
Yeah. And what gave him that power? There is no other God. He didn't say, well, the devil is trying to defeat us. The devil's trying to make us worship another God. No, the king was doing that. And it was an opportunity for you to impact the kingdom that of Nebuchadnezzar in a way that it had never been impacted in that respect before.
In that respect.
And there it is. It's in your hands.
Because what do they do later? What does God do later to Nebuchadnezzar? God turns him into a beast.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
So God could have turned him into a beast right then. Oh, you're coming against my people and you're going to threaten to throw them? I'm just going to turn you into a beast.
Yeah.
But that wasn't the experience he wanted for Nebuchadnezzar, and it definitely wasn't the experience he wanted for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. But in that fire, just like Peter in the storm, right?
Yeah.
They both hung out with the person in the midst of it.
Exactly. And here's the thing. We have this tendency to need something that we don't have in order to be happy, in order to be at peace. We need God to do something that he hasn't done in order to feel victorious, or successful. And the reality is he is our peace. He is your success. He is your joy. He is your comfort. He is God with you. He is God ever present with you. We don't have to be taken out of a situation in order to experience God in all his joy, his peace, his presence, his power. Sometimes we experience that the most if we will realize God is not wanting to take me out of the storm or I wouldn't be here. He's wanting to show me that he's with me in the storm, and that's why I am here. Yeah. So sometimes you won't get out of the storm. He's not going to deliver you until you celebrate him in the storm. Look at Paul. Paul, one time, he said, I've had this messenger of Satan, a thorn in my side. It's come to buffet me in the flesh. Okay, people scream, the devil's trying to attend, the devil's doing this, and this is such a hard need deliverance. This is Jesus' response. When Paul talks about a messenger of Satan as a thorn that's afflicting him in his flesh, and he says, and I've asked the Lord three times to deliver me from this thorn. Jesus' response is, you don't need to be delivered. You just need to know that I'm God with you in it. He said, you need to know my grace with you is more than sufficient. My grace is sufficient for you. What was Jesus saying? Paul, know that my grace, that I am with you right here, right now. And if I get you out of this situation, it's not going to make me, you or I, any closer, not going to be any more present, nor are you going to be any happier. But if you'll learn to celebrate me right here, right now, because I am God in it with you,
yeah,
you're not going to feel the thorn in your side. It's going to go away because it's my grace, not you being delivered in the way you think you need to be delivered, that will deliver you. It's knowing who I am with you. Therein is your deliverance.
Not to mention the purpose behind it, that he's calling a messenger of Satan something that's actually God wants there for the purpose of not having
keeping from being conceited.
Yeah.
So literally, God sends a messenger to help Paul. Paul asked for deliverance. How often do we do that? Believe that God is with you. He's guiding your steps. Your steps are ordered of the Lord, everyone, every day, at all times. And say to the Lord God, show me what it is. Show me where you are as I'm looking to you. I know you are the big picture. You're what I'm supposed to be looking at. You are the focal point in this scenario. I look for your grace, I look for your goodness, and I celebrate you in this time. God be glorified in it. Use me for your glory. Have your way.
I think so much of the time too, you know, one person's storm is not someone else's storm. And that doesn't change the fact, just because I might look at you and you're going through a hard time that I might not think is a hard time, doesn't mean that it's not difficult for you.
Sure.
But that's all a way of setting up the point that as you keep zooming out and zooming out, if the whole point was God to deliver us from storms, you know, since Jesus came, there's been over 2,000 years and people have been living through a whole bunch of stuff.
Yeah.
Why doesn't God take everybody out of the earth? You know, regardless of what happens in the future, why, if the point is to get out, Jesus said, in this world, you will have tribulations, but take joy because I've overcome the world.
Yeah.
So if it was about getting out of our troubles, he would have taken, because Jesus opened the grave, he destroyed death. There was the pathway from that point on for people to be out of all trouble going forward, if that was God's desire.
He's already overcome the storm. That's what that scripture is saying. Yeah. Behold, I've overcome it. I've already done what you're wanting me to do. But what I want you to do is experience who I am in it. Number one, it's going to be a great witness to you. You're going to feel like a king and a priest. You're going to know that I'm God with you. You're going to know that no weapon formed against you will prosper. You're going to know that all things work together for good. And you're going to know you can walk through the fire and through the water, not be drowned, not be burned. I'm God. I don't want you to fear anything. I want you to know what it feels like to be in my presence. I've got you covered.
I think that our natural instinct tends to be, oh no, I got to go through fire and I got to go through water, instead of then saying, oh my God, that's how you celebrate the storm. It's like, oh my gosh, I just went through that. And I just, oh my, you know, it's like, here's an opportunity to get to do something amazing. I could be out on the water and there's this giant wave coming at me, or I can turn my surfboard around and I can catch it. And I just rode it. I just overcome it. And I can celebrate those circumstances, those situations. It takes back to you. You can be in a rocking chair or you can be in a storm. Where do you want to hang out with Jesus?
And listen, we get plenty of rocking chair time.
We do.
We just highlight those stormy water times. You know, it seems like that's where we are most of the time. But the reality is we get a whole lot of downtime. We get a lot of rocking chair time. But everyone knows, I'd be deceiving people if I said, you know, you're not going to, you know, there are never going to be any challenging times. But what I'm saying is, how do we navigate those storms? You know, and why? So what God wants you to know is he's not angry at you. It's not because you did something wrong. And certainly people do things they shouldn't do and get themselves in predicaments they didn't have to be in.
No. But even in that,
God's still there. He's still Lord with them. He's still Lord over them. So the point is not to, you know, not telling you call the storms, but, you know, create a position of faith. And that position is come what may, God. That's why he said, the Lord is my shepherd. So whether it's, you know, a green pasture or troubled or still waters or, you know, the valley of the shadow of death or presence of my enemy, I'm going to treat it the same way that I would treat a wonderful time in the fields, in the green fields, or the still water. I'm going to treat the shadow of death and my enemies in the same way. And what is that way? You're with me. I have nothing to fear. Only good is pursuing me in all of this, and I'm going to dwell in the presence of the Lord. God isn't angry at you. He's not upset with you. He loves you. He loves you when you don't love you. When you don't love yourself, God still loves you. His heart is that he loves you. His heart is that he wants you to experience his nature. He wants you to know that he'll keep you in all things. And instead of getting upset and thinking it's the worst day of your life, make a prophetic declaration. We do it all the time. This is the greatest season of my life. Celebrate the no's. Celebrate the storms. Celebrate the rocking chair times. Celebrate all things. At all times, I will declare his goodness. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise will continually be in my mouth.
Selah. See you guys next time.